Thanks so much for joining us for day number two as we are talking with Arkansas Senator from District 10, Missy Ervin. And Missy, thanks so much for taking time and talking with us. As day number two, we're going to be talking about the budget.
Thank you. Yes, I'm so glad to be with you. And thanks for giving me the opportunity again to speak with you and your listeners. And it's so important. If you look at what we've done with our budget, we really are going into the next fiscal session with a $90 million surplus. Because we were very conservative in our budgeting process. And I give credit where credit is due. I think the governor led the effort. It was a bipartisan effort, of course, through, you know, House majority and House Senate leaders as well. And we really, it was great. And for me, it just reemphasizes the fact that our $35 million in tax cuts that we were able to give back to the people of Arkansas was conservative, and I think that's great. But that, because it really is not going to impact our revenue to the degree that a lot of people said it would. So I'm really proud that we fought for those tax cuts. The governor, of course, just wanted the grocery tax cut to begin with, and the Republicans really said, no, we can go. We want more. We can go beyond that. And so we came to an agreement of $35 million. So that's great news for the people of Arkansas, and it's great that we have a surplus. I think it's going to make it interesting going into the next fiscal session, which begins in February next year. What do we do with that surplus? I'm very conservative, so I say let's try to figure out a way to put it in a rainy day fund where we can tuck it away and prepare for the future. But that would have to be created. I'm not okay with it just going into general improvement funds because the governor has sole discretion over those funds and how they're spent. And many times we grow state government by that. And I don't think we need to continue growing state government. Arkansas actually has been one of the leading states in our government growing, which I think we need to go backwards from that. I want private sector to grow, and I want small businesses to grow and provide jobs, not our government. So if we can work it to where we can get that surplus to plug some holes that needed to be plugged, and to really set it aside to prepare for a very questionable economy that we find ourselves in. So that's what I would really like to do. The other thing that's going to impact our budget and our fiscal session was a ruling by a federal judge to where the state of Arkansas does not have to fund the desegregation efforts for three school districts, the Little Rock School District being the number one school district. That's $70 million that we would have to take from our budget immediately, right off the top, before anything else was funded. We had to use $70 million to fund desegregation efforts. So with a judge ruling that we no longer as a state have to do that, that money goes back into our budget. It goes back into our revenue. So that's going to be an interesting to see how that shakes out. Of course, there's appeals that are going on for that now, but I think budgeting, I was very proud that we were conservative in our budgeting, and it shows, you know, that we're on the right path. We're doing good things. We're making good decisions for the people of Arkansas, and I'm very proud of the Republican effort to give tax cuts back to help spur our economy.
Medicaid changes. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Right now, they're the governor had requested a waiver from Kathleen Sebelius in order to change our Medicaid system, and he and the director and the Surgeon General, director of DHS, have been very vocal about wanting to be Arkansas to be the very first state to really tackle and make the changes that are pretty much outlined in the Affordable Care Act to our Medicaid system. I have great concern over that. Because there's a lot of theory being discussed and conceptual ideas, but nothing really on hard paper as to exactly what they want to do and how they want to change it. But what they're talking about, I don't like. And I'll be the first to say it, and I've said it over and over and over again in committee hearings and public health committee meetings that we are having right now during the interim. They are also meeting with stakeholders and providers, and I believe there's a big, big cause of concern from a lot of providers in the state of Arkansas. So it's not just a Republican effort. It's not just a provider effort. There are also some Democrats that are colleagues of mine that are very upset with the way that they are proposing to change Medicaid, which would take it from a fee-for-service payment module to a episode of care payment module. And that there's not really any clear definition of what that looks like. And I kind of talk about it like this. You know, you can have a rocket scientist that looks at a piece of paper and says, here's how we launch a rocket from Earth to the moon. And on paper, this is how it's going to work. But sometimes you need the mechanic that has just the common sense skills and knowledge to say, well, that looks great on paper, but it's not going to work. And so we've got to make sure we've got both of those perspectives represented. And for me, the mechanics are the ones that make that rocket go are our doctors, our providers, our doctors. They know what's happening with the Medicaid system because they're treating those Medicaid patients. They're dealing with the Medicaid system in reimbursements, in coding. They're working with Arkansas Foundation for Medical Care. So these are the people that really need to be at the table to get that rocket off the ground and to make the changes necessary to save us money in the future. But they're not there. They're not present. And in fact, they're not being listened to. They're being dismissed. And I'm not okay with that. Because these are the lives that we're impacting. And this is a real thing, especially for rural Arkansas. And my husband's a family practice physician. We began a rural residency program here for UAMS in Stone County. And we have patients that serve a big, big part of Arkansas. And for us, 67% of his patient population is Medicaid and Medicare. And when you start to go in and just make it unbelievably impossible for a doctor to see a Medicaid or Medicare patient, what are those doctors going to do? They're not going to see Medicaid and Medicare patients. And if the majority of their patients fall into that category, they can't make a living in rural Arkansas. They're going to move from rural Arkansas to another state that is not so anti-doctor, or they're going to move to a bigger place like Little Rock or Jonesboro or Conway. And so you're going to see access to care diminish for poor people. And I'm not okay with that. I think that if you're on Medicaid or Medicare, you absolutely have the right to have access to a quality, well-trained physician. And, you know, I see the changes that are being proposed in trying to save us money not really going down the right road. And I think it's going to run doctors away from the system. And you're already seeing that. If you go to Little Rock, there are so many doctors that just will not accept Medicaid or Medicare patients anymore because they're the sickest. Usually they're the sickest people, and the reimbursement is the lowest. They're getting reimbursed 30% of their cost. And so for somebody who is, you know, trying to make a living or trying to run a good business, they're just not going to see those patients. My own mother couldn't even get in to see a gynecologist because they weren't accepting any more Medicare patients. That's a very bad trend, and it's a trend that we really need to take seriously when we're doing any kind of proposed changes to Medicaid, which will eventually impact Medicare. So right now, that's really a hot topic in the state. You can attend those public health committee meetings. We have full house last week of private citizens and providers and a lot of stakeholders that were at our meeting last week. So I encourage people to really pay attention as to the changes that are going on during the interim of our sessions.
Well, let's also talk about the redistricting. That seems like a hot topic, and it always is when it's time for that redistricting to go on. Who's in charge of that?
There are three: the governor, the attorney general, and the secretary of state. Those are the three that make up the board of apportionment. And with that makeup, you've got two Democrats and one Republican. So it's going to be controlled by the Democrats, that process. And that's what we've seen. It's very much been controlled by the Democrats. There's not a whole lot of play or consideration being given to what anybody else wants. The thing that I think we have to be so careful of is we need to listen to the constituents. There's a lot of people that are really unhappy with the way the maps are drawn because it splits their county sometimes four ways. White County right now is being proposed to be split four different ways. And so that one county would have four state senators in that one county. And so I think, you know, we have to listen and we have to abide by the law, which is to try to keep like communities together so that there's not one population that's just going to dominate that district. And so that the issues that you deal with are kind of similar issues. And in my old district, because my district really changes pretty dramatically, but in my old district, that was the case. I had a very rural district. It was large geographically, but it was a very rural district. And I worked hard to establish those relationships with the elected officials in those counties and cities. But our issues were all very similar to one another. You know, and that's kind of the case in the new district that's been drawn that would put me in it. What I've told people is that I'm happy to represent any county in the state of Arkansas. And it's just simply a privilege for me to serve. And so my new district is different, very, very different. I actually would go into 9 different counties, which is probably, I think, the most of anybody in the state. Which is interesting because my district as it was met legal muster. It was okay as it was already drawn. They did not have to change my district at all in order for it to meet the legal standard. But it changed dramatically and I really lost about 2,000 people from my district. So my population was right on target. Everything was right on target. Yet the populations that really suffered were in South Arkansas. That's where they lost the most numbers. But those districts, which are heavily, primarily Democratic, they expanded, but not to the degree that mine did geographically. So, you know, you can look at that and make your own conclusions. I just report the facts. I want people that are listening to your show to be empowered, and I think that they need to. They can go to ArkansasRedistricting.org, and you can put that on your website. They can look at those maps, and then they can also give their comment on that website between now and June the 29th, which is when the final vote takes place. So if you're listening out there, please go on to ArkansasRedistricting.org. Look at what House district you were in and what House district you are in. Look at the Senate district that you were in and which one that you now will be in. So, and it's really the opportunity is there for the citizens of the state of Arkansas to speak up and the communities to get together, write letters, and to say to the Attorney General and to the Governor, this is not what we want. And so there are a lot of people that have a lot of angst about this, about these maps that are being proposed. I think that we really should look at, first and foremost, not protecting our party, but really doing what's right by the people of the state of Arkansas. And I don't see that was the consideration. If you look at the lines, I think it was very much a map that was drawn on partisan politics. I understand that's politics, but it really doesn't do justice and serve the people of Arkansas the way it should. So that process is open, it's for discussion, and it will close out when they vote June the 29th.
Okay, we've been talking with Arkansas Senator from District 10, Missy Irvin. Missy, thanks so much for taking time and talking with us. We're going to have this program at KFFB.com on the open mic button. You'll find it unedited, and you can find this program and all the open mic programs there. And again, Senator, thanks so much for taking time and talking with us.
Thank you so much. so much for having me, and I will tell your listeners now, if this new map does stay, I will be so pleased and very, very happy to represent the folks of Cleburne County and Searcy County, Van Buren, White, Faulkner, Baxter, Fulton, and Stone. So I will take the cake for the most counties. So keep your eyes on it and put your input. But again, I'm very happy and pleased to represent any county in the state of Arkansas.